I want to share with you, we're going to continue our thoughts on spiritual warfare. And we started this in Ephesians 6, and the whole purpose of the study that we're doing is to remind us of the benefits of salvation. Salvation is not just a ticket to heaven, okay? Because a knowledge of God, a knowledge of salvation without a relationship is a demonic tactic to get you to bypass what's going to nurture you and grow you. So we don't want to just say that we love the Lord, we know Jesus, I don't want to check off on a survey, I'm a Christian. I want a relationship with Him where I live it. And so many benefits have come into play in our salvation that it's not just about making it to heaven. It's about provision on this earth to overcome. So I wanted to share with you, this is an old ticket, but I keep this little ticket in my Bible as a bookmark sometime to remind me of things. And this is a ticket to the Dallas Mavericks against the Grizzlies. And I went to this game in, oh, Lord Jesus, it is old, December 30th of 2008. So that's almost 11 years ago, right? But I keep this ticket because Steve's sister, Judy, she had tickets, and she worked at XTO Energy, and one of the vice presidents there she worked with, and he had these really great seats. And, ooh, we'd get these really great seats, and we'd go to this Maverick game. We just feel so special. And so we were sitting up there, and, you know, we're just two girls and enjoying the game. And the Mavs were getting routed, okay? And finally, I think they were down like 22, 24 points. And the announcer says to the stadium, well, this was the biggest lead over the Mavericks since reunion, you know, since not one reunion, you know what I'm saying, since the Mavericks, since they've been in, yeah, since they've been in effect, whatever. And we were like, oh, well, people just started leaving by the droves. And Judy and I are sitting there, and she said, do you want to go? And I said, well, I'm enjoying the game. And she's like, me too, I don't want to go, these are great seats. And I said, you know what? Let's just stay here and enjoy it. Listen with spiritual ears. This has been provided for us. It was paid. We didn't have to do anything. Like, we even have this parking pass that took us under and let us out right by these, you know, stairs that went right up to where we were sitting. It was like, ooh, fab, you know. And she had some tickets for free food. And, you know, we were just having a ball. So I said, you know, well, hey, let's just believe. What if we just believed? And we were like, well, these men behind us are like rolling their eyes and everything. And I said, no, really. I said, those guys are wearing out because they've just been running up and down the court so much. Look, they're just pulling on their shorts when they're bending over. They're worn out. I said, let's get some fresh legs in here and, you know, whatever. So we're just going on. Well, all of a sudden, Mavs start having this comeback. You know, we're in, you know, like the final, you know, 8 minutes, they're coming back. We're like getting crazy screaming, and the Mavs won that game. And they came back from the biggest deficit ever. And I felt like the Lord said to me that night, I want you to remember that adversity always makes the common things have more value. Because now I can say, I was at the game where the Mavs came back from the biggest, you know, biggest deficit ever. Thank you. My big word thinker's not working tonight. And the other thing is that I have to realize that if something's been paid for, guys, I want to get the full benefit of whatever's been paid for, right? But dissatisfaction with God is a tool of the enemy, and it will destroy you. And if you're dissatisfied, and I want you to hear with spiritual ears tonight, I don't think there's any coincidence all of us are in here tonight. Because dissatisfaction, your hair looks really cute, Penny, sorry. Because dissatisfaction, what it really does is cause us to separate our hearts and our minds from God and the agreement that He really wants us to have. So those are some things that we're going to start with tonight that I want to talk to you about. So the first thing is that the basics of spiritual warfare, we're going to talk about three battle basics. And the scripture I have for you tonight, of course, we've been doing put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the schemes of the devil. But what you also need to realize is I want you to work in conjunction with the scripture we touched on last week, and that is Corinthians 10:5. We demolish arguments, which some of your versions will say imaginations, but you know, it's a mental argument. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. A pretension is something that seems higher or above you. You know, like if you say, oh, those people are so pretentious because they have money, they think they're better. So thoughts that think they're better than God, that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. That's 2 Corinthians 10:5. Those are on your notes. So today I want to talk to you about the soldier of today. You know, we still have to choose every day when we get up what we're going to do and how we're going to live. So I realized that the culture, and I'm just so tired of that word, but the culture that we live in, people are so afraid of it. Oh, the culture. Oh, the darkness on our children. Oh, the blah, blah, blah. Yep, that's all true. But who's bigger and who's greater? We need to make up our minds who we're going to get in agreement with. And that's the first point that's so important is agreement. I've got to have my mind in agreement with what God says. Because listen, the armor can be there. It can be fitted for me. And we know God personally fits the armor for us. It can be there. It can be beautiful. It can have everything that I need. But if I'm not in agreement to put that armor on, God is not going to deck me out every day with the armor. I need to be in agreement, and I need to believe what he says, that it's going to do what it says, it's going to have the benefit he says, and that he knows that he can use me. The enemy wants you to doubt you, and I've got to be more in agreement with God than the lies of the enemy. And I got to thinking about that word, culture. When you go to the doctor sometimes, well, Cynthia's not here tonight. She's had a bunch of tests done, and the other day they ran these cultures. Think about that. Culture tells you if you have a disease or not. But they ran these cultures on her, and this one office called her and said, oh, lupus. You know, you've tested for lupus. And she called me up. She goes, I am so mad, she said. I do not have lupus. I was like, no, you don't have lupus? And she's like, why would they call me and tell me that? I'm supposed to go see the doctor tomorrow. Why would they do this? And blah, blah, blah. I was like, Cynthia, we are not going to be in agreement with this. I don't care what that report says. You do not have lupus. The Bible is clear, and I believe it's Exodus 23:25 that my mom always quoted, you know, and you'll serve the Lord, and your bread and your water will bring life to your body, and you will not have disease. And I was like, Cynthia, and I was just speaking that word. Not only is that in the physical, but that's in the supernatural. We got the word. We got the spirit. You know, boy, we're just blah, 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 blah. Woo, glory to God. So guess what? She goes to the doctor and finds out what? Thank you, smart crowd. No lupus. Why would they do that? It's the same thing that happens with people over cancer. And I know this from my mother having cancer. I was told by several different doctors in three different states that every person will test for some kind of, you'll get some kind of cancer reading in your body off something because there's carriers in your body. But that does not mean that a disease is going to overcome you. And the first thing that happens is we get into this battle for our minds and the agreement, who am I going to agree with? So I want to read something from Joyce Meyer that I think is really good. She says that there's nothing in her life now that has changed, and she realized until she had to change her mind. Romans 12:2 says, be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind. And that reading that in the Amplified, where it says the entire renewal of your mind, she said, I realize that thoughts are powerful, and the good news is we can choose what we think about. We act like we're so helpless. And really, you know, put down your, you know, I'm a good Christian shield, and let's just talk to our hearts tonight, because we're all people who need help. I'll raise my hand. Okay, thank you. But there are times when people would rather watch a movie than read the Word of God. Okay, don't anybody look shocked. There's times when people would prefer to watch a series that's going on Netflix or whatever, as they would to set a time, that they're more dedicated to times for that entertainment than they are for a set aside time for the Word of God. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. If you do, you know, take it to Jesus, because I don't want to be a weapon of the enemy in accusation. But let's just think about that. If this is where my heart is, I got to realize that this is going to be a continual battle. I'm going to have to make some choices. But the good news is I can choose what I think about. And I watch so many people feel so helpless. I have honestly, and it goes back to the garden and the knowledge of good and evil. I won't get into all that. But here's the thing. Kids are watching films in school, and they are being desensitized to certain things, and they're being hyped up on other things that really have nothing to do with life in the future. And they're watching movies produced by people who have an anti-God message. And really, the message is this: I want you to feel good about whatever you do, because we don't want you to feel bad about anything, because good people are good. All good people are going to heaven. That is a lie. My righteousness, my goodness is as filthy rags. It's been paid for. I need to accept it, and I need to stick with it, right, to get the full benefits. But I've actually heard Christian kids that I believed or were raised, and I'm still calling them home, tell me that movies have changed their view on God and their purpose. I've heard it. I have heard people that I think are very intelligent begin to use their intelligence to talk about what they think God means on things and to divert people from truth, because God is never going to have you do something that is against His Word. But if we want to do something, how many of you know we'll find a way to do it, and we can try to look good while we're doing it, right? So that's what I'm talking about. But she says, this has been one of the most life-changing revelations of my life. I used to believe I couldn't help what I thought. If I woke up in the morning and my thought was, I'm depressed, then I just obeyed it, and I was depressed all day. But Jesus died to set us free, and one of the greatest freedoms we have is a freedom of choice. It was so wonderful to realize that my mind didn't have to be a trash can for the devil all day, or a channel for him to do his dirty work through, and the key to my victory over the enemy was learning to renew my mind. Now, I want to tell you, God's Word is the medicine that we need for the culture of disease, okay? But it is going to take a commitment from us to pursue God's Word. Because I want to tell you, I know a lot of people, and you can talk to them about something. You'll know this too. This just isn't in church work. But you can talk to somebody, and you can explain something to them. And then they go and talk to somebody else, and the last person they talk to is who they believe. This is why it's so important. Well, how do I renew my mind? How can I make these choices? How can I stay fixed? The number one best thing I can tell you is you have got to start off every morning before you get out of bed. I cannot be more sincere in this, by communicating with God. You've got to do it. That's what she was saying. Her first thought was, well, I guess I'm depressed. I don't know anything's better, you know. You got to say to yourself, God, this day belongs to you and I belong to you. And here's a real powerful thing to say. God, I know you're the answer, and I know the answer lives in me. You should say that. You should write that down and say that over yourself. God, I know that you're the answer, and the answer lives in me. Not just do you have the right to do it, but you need to exercise it. This is what I'm talking about, this ticket. I have the right, but I could have exercised to leave when things looked bad. But because it was already provided, I'm going to get the full benefit, right? And you know what God did? He just cleaned the traffic out. There wasn't very many people left, and we're in there high-fiving and going crazy. You're hugging people you don't know, and you'll never see like you were their best friend since birth. You know what I'm saying? That is what happens when you recognize the benefits that God has given you. So many times I meet people, and we just begin to talk and converse, and Steve will go, "Do you know them?" I'm like, "No, I don't know them." We were out in front of the polling place when the election was going on. And, you know, there's all these people in the tent. You know, you have this side and that side's tent. Well, this lady in this fancy car pulled up, like, right in front of the tent. Like, you know, whoa, okay. And she's like, "You, is your name Van Zandt?" I was like, "Yeah." She goes, "You come over here." I was like, "Okay." You know who I'm talking about, Angela. She got Angela first. But anyway, another day. So I go over to the car, I'm like, "Can I ask you?" "Yes, I want to ask you a couple of questions." I'm like, "Okay." She's like, "Well, I heard you're a Christian." I said, "I am a Christian." "Well, I just want you to know, I believe that we should love all people." I was like, "Check. I believe the same thing." "Well, you say that, but I know that you don't like Muslims." I said, "How do you know that about me?" "Well, I know it because you're a Christian." I said, "Well, let me get this straight. You're judging me by your belief of what a Christian is, the same way you think I'm judging a Muslim by your opinion of who I am." And she went, "Yes, I am." And she goes, "You got me." And I was like, "I'm not trying to get you. I just want you to realize you've already prejudged me the way you say I've prejudged Muslims." "Well, how do you feel about it?" I said, "Well, I'll tell you how I feel about it." I said, "I had some Muslims come to my daughter's funeral. They wouldn't come in the door because they didn't want to come inside the sanctuary. But I went out. It was my son's friend from high school. I went out into the foyer. I greeted with them. We fell on each other's shoulders. We cried. He said to me, 'I cannot imagine this happening to my daughter. I want you to know that, you know, how bad we bring food. What can we do?' I was like, 'Nothing. Your love is enough.' I said, 'I believe in finding the common ground, and that's love, but only love is from God.'" She went, "Well, well," you know, and then she asked me some other questions. "And you want a new city hall?" I was like, "Yes, I want a new city hall." "Well, do you have ideas?" I was like, "Yes. I want tankless water heaters in there. I want, you know, solar power in there. I want some pull up and charge your car battery in front of there. I want to." She's like, "Oh, well, that's just wonderful." And then we started talking. And so by the time she left, I just reached in and hugged her. And I was like, "It was so nice to me." She goes, "I live over by your church, and I see what you do, and I see lots of people out there." And I was like, "Well, good, then you know that we love all." "Well, yes, but you know, just because you help people doesn't mean you love them." I was like, "Oh, that's so wrong." I was like, "Girl, you're judging me again." She's like, "Oh, you know," and we're just laughing. So I just reached in there and hugged her, and she told me her name. And I said, "Well, my name's, you know, Gay, and please call me that when you see me," and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, "Okay, well, I'm going to vote for you, but I don't know about any of those other people." I was like, "Okay, I'm good. I'm good." So I get back to the tent, and they're all like, "Wow, so who was that? What's her name?" I said, "Well, I only know her first name." "Well, don't you know her?" I was like, "No, I just met her." They're like, "What? And you just reached in there, and y'all look like you were best friends. Here's what I want you to know. I'm not afraid of confrontation because I know who lives in me. And I don't have to lie about who I am. And I don't have to cover for God because God's the one who covers for me. And when I walk in truth with all people, the truth is going to set them free. And you're going to find out some things, guys. You know, my mom used to say, you'll catch a whole lot more flies with honey than you will vinegar. And I want to tell you, his word is still clear. It's his kindness that brings us to repentance. Anybody in here agree that, you know, how many of you in here, let me just ask you, you really enjoy somebody telling you off and what's wrong with you? Get over here, I'm going to pray for you. Come on. No, I'm just kidding. No, none of us, okay? So that's the thing. He's built that in us because he has built us to worship him. And so we do want to stay in agreement with him, right? Now we want to talk very quickly. I want to talk to you about Joshua. Now, we're going to be using Old Testament tonight because these are some good examples for us. So, Joshua, if you want to turn in your pew Bible, it's page 154, and I'm just going to kind of skim the story, okay, for the sake of time. But here's the thing with Joshua. Joshua had already seen some great things happen. He knows he's going to receive his reward, and he's now coming up against the mighty Jericho in chapter 6. Now, Jericho's walls were so thick that nobody could penetrate them, right? Jericho was like some kind of a fortress, the way that it was built. Nobody had been able to get through it. But there was a little prostitute inside that protected the spies. And she said, she covered them while they were spying it out. And they said, hey, because you took care of us, we're going to take care of you. And you all know the story. And remember this, anything that's in the New Testament, there's a shadow of it in the Old. Because he's throughout the Word. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So from the very beginning, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all together working in cooperation. So you're always going to see him. So we know that the red cord that she let down represent the blood, and that when they saw that, so man, you know, but Joshua's looking at this and he's like, dude, God, go ahead, take care of it. You know, like me, I'm always like, God, ambush my enemies. Come on, do it for me. Let me watch and just be glad. I don't want, you know, do that for me what you did for them. And some days he does, and some days he wants me to walk through it. But I have to be in agreement, number one. And the second thing that has to happen is I have to listen to his voice and know when it's time for me to announce and say to the world and say to myself what I'm in agreement with. So Joshua's going there and he tells him, you're going to go around 6 times, okay? Get your marching shoes on. We're going to go around this. And every day I want you to go, and I want the trumpeters to go out before you. Then the priests are going to have the ark. And you're going to take this and all the people, and you're going to march around this, but I don't want you to say a word. Guys, there's just as much power in knowing when not to speak as when to speak. So he goes around. That was so funny. Now let me just stop. I saw that penetrate a couple of you when I said that. You need to know that there's just as much power in when not to speak as when to speak. But you need to recognize that God is in you. You can do his will. And you're the right one to know. Don't think you can't do it. That's a lie that you won't know the difference. You will. So anyway, back to the story. So he goes around, but on the 7th day, he tells them, this is what you're going to do. You're going to go around, and they're mocking him. Anybody been mocked by the world? You just feel belittled and like, dude, God, I'm not even making a difference over here. They are winning this battle. I'm telling you, I have to get my head back in agreement with God before I can announce who he is to people. Because if not, I'm just spewing something else the world's saying. So I'm in agreement. And now he says to him, he says, but on the 7th day, when you go around the 7th time, I want you to break off the thing that's covering the light, here with spiritual ears, and I want you to let it shine, and I want you to shout. And when you announce, when you give that shout out of praise to the Lord, the walls came down. And they went in and found that red cord, and Rahab and all her family were saved. Listen, I can't save anybody, and you can't save anybody. But when we let down the blood of Jesus over our family and get in agreement with what God says, there'll be a way made for them if they want it. And that's what you need to know. You may not be able to lead them out of the mess, but you can be confident God's going to keep them through the mess and make a way for them, okay? So, man, he goes in there. But here's what happens. We get around the wall, and here's what we say. Well, you know, my feeling is that this wall is really never going to come down. Well, my money's not, I don't have a lot of money today. You know, well, my relationships aren't working. Well, my hopes have been dashed against the wall. Well, you know, my hurts. What's the common denominator in all those phrases? My. And that's exactly what happens to us. When we take our ways off God and we begin to announce and say to ourselves and say to other people how bad it is and how it's never going to change and I know that they aren't going to and, you know, I've had to put up with and blah, blah, blah. It's time that we begin to announce what God can do. I want you to know tonight, I'm not talking about name it, claim it. I am not in agreement that I can say some things and then just deny reality. Okay? I don't want to do that. But I want to be able to say the word of God because it's still as alive and active as when Jesus breathed the words out of his mouth. His breath is still coming through those words because he told me that his spirit lives in me. And if the same spirit lives in me that raised Christ from the dead, I'm thinking there's some real good power coming out of me if I'm in agreement with it and if I will announce it and say what he tells me to say. And so I'm not asking you to, you know, oh, I want a Cadillac, 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 oh, I want a Cadillac. No, because that's not eternal. I want you to be speaking things that are eternal. I will not be depressed today, God. When I get up, I'm gonna see you in some things that are going to happen. God, I'm going to be looking for you instead of what's happening bad to me. I'm going to be looking for what you're doing that's good. I'm going to find something good today. And guess what? You will. Yes, you will. But if we're perpetually agreeing with the enemy, oh, this can't change, oh, I just don't have the, you know, the spark anymore, there's just no love here anymore. If you're always in agreement with the enemy, you'll have what you say on that. But if you believe that there's more and there's better. Now listen, I'm not asking you to get arrested, okay? Be smart. But I'll tell you what I'll do. Don't be scared of me. But, you know, sometimes I'll see somebody's, you know, if there's a purse there or a Bible there, or especially if somebody leaves Bibles in here, I'll go get them and pray over them, or I'll touch that. If I'm sitting there by somebody, I'll just touch something that theirs and I'll just begin to pray over that thing. And today I saw some papers that, you know, looked like they were scaring somebody and they left. And I just went in there and got those papers and I just anointed them, started praying over them. Because you know what? I believe there's power in announcing and speaking life. Not because I'm the one who's making things happen, but the word of God will not return void. And sometimes my agreement needs to be for people who are in disagreement. Because we get discouraged. But you can't stay there when you keep saying, it's never going to change. Well, I don't know. Well, whatever. Well, that blah, blah, and they blah, blah, and because of them, blah, blah. You are not in agreement with God. By now, how many of you in here, raise your hands if you're a Christian. Don't be scared. I'm not going to call you out and baptize you. Okay, here's the thing. By this time, those of you in this room should know at least 10 scriptures. I'm not asking you to quote them. There won't be a test. But I'm saying you should be able to, like when I said, you know, the word of God is alive and active. You're like, oh, yeah, okay, that's in there. I know that, right? Jesus rose from the dead. The same spirit lives in you. We should be able to have a little bit of a Rolodex working here for us, right? So when people say things and you know that's not of God, right? You need to say over yourself, God, I'm not going to get in agreement with that. I'm not going to get caught up in this drama. I'm not going to get caught up in the depression. I'm going to speak life over my spirit. I'm going to speak life over them. I will not, God, be caught up in the agreement with the enemy, because you said that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Lord, you said that nothing's impossible. I'm giving you some basic scriptures here, right? You all know these. Nobody's shocked. You all know these. Lord, you said that nothing's impossible to you. And you even said to the man who said, I believe, but help my unbelief. You didn't reject him. You still believed him. So there's hope for me, God. But I need to be in agreement with you. And I need to say that out loud, because I need to speak to my soul. David encouraged himself. And it wasn't in the cave. It was by speaking the goodness of God over his life. So we know that Romans 10, 6 through 8 says that you're saved by believing in your heart and by confessing in your mouth. Confessing comes by the mouth. Yes, I can confess it by text. Yes, I can confess it by email. But there's times where you're going to need to speak over yourself and say to yourself, and I'm not kidding, I don't care. Y'all may think I need medicine, but I really don't. There's going to be times you need to look in the mirror and say to yourself, you know what? I almost said Missy, but there's some misters in here. You know what? You're going to straighten up that attitude today, and you're going to walk in the favor of God, because that's what he's told you you're going to have. And you're going to speak good news, because he said, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And the good news is not how bad I got it or how wrong I've been done. The good news is, God, that there's hope for me, that I can overcome this. And the way that I'm going to do it, God, is by staying firm, but making this decision every day. You're not going to come down here and get a feel good off God at an altar and the rest of your life is going to fall in place. You've got to be continually, not just announcing it, not just in agreement, but you've got to have an action with it now. We've got to put some action with that, okay? Because remember what I told you. A demonic tactic is to get you in agreement that you love God and God loves you, and that's enough. And I want to tell you, that's not a relationship. That's a ticket. Okay? I need a relationship with him. Don't bypass the love relationship that nobody else in this world can give you. You ever put on somebody to be your everything? Oh, you're my everything. My everything. No. When you put that on somebody, you just set yourself up for failure, and you set them up for failure, because God will have no one else before him in your heart. So I've got to be in agreement with him, and I've got to begin to speak that. You know what, God? I want to thank you today that I'm being set free from believing that I need somebody in this world to make me happy. Lord, today's the day that you're going to cause blessing to come on me, because that's your word. So let's go back now to Deuteronomy. That's on page 147 in your pew Bible. And just to tell you, these are some things that have happened. And they failed God miserably. But all of a sudden, somebody realized, you know, here the Midianites are coming in and they're, you know, stealing everything. And in Deuteronomy, they're over here and they're talking about life or death. And he says to them, the word is very near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart, so you may obey it. Let's move on down to verse 19, chapter 30, verse 19. This is the day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, and I've set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. We have a choice. He set it before us. Now choose life so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to my voice and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give you, your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And in that chapter, it's just chock full of the blessings of God, but the enemy's got people looking at the curses instead of the blessings. Don't get in agreement with the enemy. If there's a curse, God's greater. Why spend 5 minutes worried about how this happened in the house instead of spending 5 minutes telling God you're greater than this mess? What do you think's going to profit you? Worrying or praying? So we come in here, and here's a benefit of your salvation. One of the reasons I wanted to use the Old Testament is because I want you to understand they did not have what you and I have. We have the Holy Spirit who says he hears what the Father has to say, and he tells us. And so I need to be saying what the Father's saying, not because I want to, you know, just be able to go in a store and buy anything I want and, you know, have all the money in the world. All the money in the world could ruin a lot of people, and we've seen that happen. I read an article the other day, Kimberly Williams Paisley, when she was 19, she starred in that movie, The Father of the Bride. And she's a strong believer. But at that time, at 19, she said she remembered meeting Steve Martin, who played her father in the movie, and that he came up to her, and the first thing he said to her is, "You're going to need a good therapist." And she thought that was funny, and she just blew it off. And she said later she realized that what money and fame does to people, they have to have a backup. And if they don't have God, a therapist is their backup, because people get so messed up from money and fame that they don't even answer. They feel they're above things. I think God wants us to have adversity so our roots deepen in him and maturity comes, and we are able to know, smell, taste, feel the enemy in the room with us and say, "Not today. I know that voice. I'm not going to speak right now because I'm listening more to your voice than his. But I'm going to hear what he has to say, and I'm going to speak it. And even, sweet Christine, if I have to go in and speak it over myself first, let it be." Okay? So he comes in and he's announcing. But he says we are to bring good news. So I want to tell people there's good news. Why? Because there's already enough adversity in the world, and it's not coming from God, but he knew it was going to happen, and he's made provision for you and me. And the number one mistake you can make is to think that your knowledge, even if it's of the Word of God, is going to make you better than anybody else. The Word of God is a guide for me, not a pride for me. So we come in. In Deuteronomy, he's talking about your salvation is going to bring liberation, and it's going to bring unity, and it's going to bring production with good things. And when he says, "I'm going to do this," I wonder sometimes, why are we feeling so scattered, so unstable, so spiritually distracted, and so mentally confused? It's because we're not in agreement with God. I'm not speaking the word of God over my life and saying, "God, I trust you," but instead, I've got a time out saying, "Well, I gave God 6 months. Well, Gabe, I've been at it for 10 years and I hadn't seen my answer." Well, let me just tell you something. I think Joshua at 40 years has got you and me beat, all right? And that was without the help of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? So we come into this, and I have to know, like, verse 5, where am I supposed to be? I'm supposed to be dwelling in this land with God, not with other people's fear, not with other people's solutions. How many of you in here, honestly, you know people who have all your answers? Right? Right? You don't even have to, "Well, I know what's wrong with you. I tell you what we need. Let's just go to happy hour. Let's just forget this. Come on. Let's soothe that thing. We can work this out." If you soothe it with that, you're going to have to keep soothing it with that. And then you talk about not being able to afford those new shoes. I'm just saying, think about it. It only makes sense. But the way of blessing is the word of faith. Okay? So here's what I want you to do. Michael, you're going to have to help me again, please. I hope I have enough of these cards tonight. I want everybody to get a card, right? Let's talk real quickly about Gideon, okay? So we have our agreement. You got to agree that you need the armor, that you're going to put it on, that you're going to use it. You've got to have some action with it. I'm not just going to stand there and go, "Oh, look at that big old dart and arrow, you know. Oh, shields up. That one got through." I'm going to be in relationship with him, and I'm going to hear what he tells me. And not only do I have to be able to say, hey, here comes something, you know, let's all pray. That'd be a good thing to say. But let's believe there's going to be people within 5 minutes from when you leave this room. The enemy wants to steal every good word you've already been taken in. He wants to steal that good word from you with a heartache, with trouble, and with the word of darkness. And I'm giving you the truth that if all you can say when you get out of here is, God, I know that you are the answer, and the answer lives in me. If that's all you can get out of you, you've just said, I'm going to dwell in the land of God. And God's going to provide you with an answer. And sometimes the answer won't come right away, but you'll have peace enough that it won't bother you when all the na-na keeps going on. So here's Gideon, and he comes in. Judges chapter 6. I'll recap it for you, but please go back and read it. So the Midianites have come in, and they're controlling, and they're dominating, and the Lord let them be dominated for 7 years. Why? Because they'd turned their backs on him. They'd let Baal be set up. Baal is a demonic, intellectual, pornographic, culturally acceptable god. The same thing is still going on today, only you don't call it by name. We just accept it. And Baal, they had set up in this force. They were doing these horrible things in the name of pleasing Baal. And there was this Asherah pole they had set up for where they worshipped him. So this is my cliff note for you tonight. So God goes into Gideon, who's hiding, working on his wheat, because he doesn't want them to know where he is, because they go in and just take anything they want. So here's the people of God hiding their blessing from the world because they're powerless against the world who keeps coming in and taking their blessing. And I want to tell you tonight, I am tired of us hiding and waiting for the world to come in and get our kids and the people that we love. It's time for it to stop, because God is the answer, and the answer is in you, and the answer is in me, and there's more power in this room that can take over the whole world. If we get in, it can turn the tide of the whole world if we just get in agreement with him. Y'all don't look convinced. I just need two or three of you to get in agreement with me. I don't need, thank you. I got me some agree. I don't need everybody, but, you know, it'd be nice to have a, you know, yeah, okay. So he goes in here, and he's scared. He's in a, you know, some people say it's a cave. Some people say it's just a darkened area. But wherever he is, he's at work. And this angel from the Lord comes in. Now, this is funny. And he goes, you mighty man of valor, to a guy who's hiding the blessing of God because he's afraid of the Midianites and he's hiding. And I want you to know, God doesn't need to get in agreement with you. You need to get in agreement with God. God hears your fears. God knows your doubt about who you are. And so does the enemy, because you keep telling him what you can't do. How about we start saying, God, hey, I heard what you said. Help me with this one, because I'm having trouble believing it. Right? Just tell him the truth. And so he says to Gideon, you know, how come you guys hadn't taken care of this? He's like, are you blind? You know, this is my Cliff Note version. Don't you see that this is what's happened and whatever? And so then we love this, you know, how Gideon put out the fleeces and everybody likes to talk about it. But let me tell you something. He was not rejected because he didn't know who he was. He was not rejected because he didn't get in agreement with who the angel said he was, the message from God. He was not rejected because he had weak faith. He was worked with because God knew he needed somebody who had a lack of confidence in them so they could have full confidence in him. So stop belittling your lack of confidence and recognize that that is a place where you can go in and let God affirm to you who you are. But we're so busy listening to what the devil tells us about who we're not. That was a real good place for an amen. We're so busy letting the devil tell us who we're not that we're not listening to who God says we are. And God's not worried about how you look or where you hiding or what mess you got in. Remember this, he sought him out in the middle of the mess. And I'm telling you tonight, God is wanting to seek you out in the middle of your mess because we are not fighting a flesh and blood war. We are fighting a war against spirits and principalities and powers and my own carnal nature. And carnal means animal-like instincts. And when an animal's hurt, what do? Hurt. And when an animal's hungry, what do? Prey on the weaker. And when an animal wants to take over something, they go in and they don't care who they hurt. And we're not those people, and I don't have to worry that God's going to let somebody hurt me, because I'm going to tell you, every tear I shed when I let that happen, God has got them vialed up. The Revelation says they're in bottles. It says that it is precious to him. And I want to tell you something. The things that you're discounting mean something to God, because you're his kid, and there's value in your tears, and there's value in your pain, and he knew it because he let Jesus take it on Calvary. Good job. So he's saying to Gideon, I don't want you to shout. I don't want you to announce it. I want you to put some action to that, and I want you to just begin to plow these fields. I want you to plow and do what I tell you to do. And he got in agreement with God, and he says, I don't want you to say anything right now. I just want you to work the field of your heart right now and listen to me. Work the field of your heart. I can't work the field of the world until I've worked the field of my heart with him. And Gideon did, and he kept asking him, you know, well, if you'll do this, well, if you do that. God didn't get mad at him. God honored him for being honest and knowing where he was. Guys, tonight, please understand this. God knows who you are and your makeup and what you need. And he wants to supply that to you. You can ask God 70 times 7 a day to be sure about something, and he's not going to be mad, because he said in his word, if he's telling you and me 70 times 7, what do you think he's got? Right? So he's not going to be mad at you and hold something against you. He wants to work with us. So he comes in, but he told him, you're going to go to that place, and you're going to get 10. He had 10 men to go with him. 10 is a number of completion, like the 10 commandments, okay? He says, you're going to go in. He's like, what? Me and 10 men? Okay, well, now listen. If I put this out in the dew and I get a bowl of, you know, water off this thing when I ring it, well, okay. And then the next day, okay, well, God, don't be mad. But the next time, can you just do it again? And if there's no water, God was good with it, guys. Because there's some of us who are going to get it like that, and there's some of us who aren't, and not one is better than the other. And don't act like you are if you're the one who gets it without the fleece. Okay? So he goes in, he says to him, you're going to take down all that stuff. You're going to take down all those idols, that stuff to Baal, and you know what you're going to do? He says, you're going to take that Asheroth pole, and you're going to break it down, and you're going to use that for fuel to make a burnt offering for me and a sacrifice. And I want you to hear this in the spirit tonight. God is wanting us to tear down the things of this world that have come in our minds, that have come in our hearts and into our homes. He wants us to tear down those things and use it for fuel to give him praise. And this I believe. God, I'm going to use this for you now. And here's how we're going to do it. On the front of your card, and I know all of you got a pen tonight. Thank you, Michael. I want you to put a number 1, okay, on the back of your little card that you got. We ran out of cards? Okay, we'll do it on the back of your notes. You have notes. Fold your notes in half where the blank page is on either side, okay? On one side, put number 1, And on number one, right now, I want you to write down something that is a big struggle for you. And I don't care if you put somebody's name, I'm just saying, what's a big struggle for you? Nobody's going to see it. We're not going to pass them around and check, you know, no. Now what I want you to do is realize this. You have to be in agreement with God. You have to be willing to say, when he says go into all the world and teach, you know, reach the gospel, that wasn't with sign language. And it's needed sometimes, but that was with your mouth. You need to go be sharing him. So I'm going to get in agreement, and I'm going to start saying things. And even if it's under my breath, you know, a couple of times I thought I was going to get decked saying stuff under my breath. But, you know, it's like this, God, just give me patience. God, help me right now. You know, because I just think I need to hear that, because I hear so, you hear so much negative. After a while, you just need to hear something positive, right? Thank God that bathroom is small and I can go in there and know if people are in there or not and speak. Because so many times I've thought, thank you, God, there's no recorder in here. Y'all put one in there, y'all gonna be in trouble. That's like a FCC violation. On the second side, here's what I want you to do. I want you to tell me one thing out of your struggle from the other side, flip it over, write number two, and I want you to tell me one thing you can be grateful for out of this struggle. One thing you can be grateful for out of this struggle. Now, I have a little, I've started a grateful journal, okay? So when I'm mad or upset, I go to the grateful journal. And I do have an entry that says, I am grateful that I did not retaliate when I really wanted to, really bad. And that's okay, because I was grateful. Are you with me? I was grateful that you saw how mad I was and you still love me, God. Are you with me? You can always find something to be grateful about. Then on that same side, with number three, I want you to come in and I want you to write on that. You're not going to do it tonight, I don't think. But on number three, I want you to write over something what you believe God is going to do to help you with your struggle, because you've got to turn around your thinking. You've got to get in agreement that there is hope. We have to keep focusing on him. Those scriptures are on your notes for tonight. But here's the thing, guys. God uses people who fail because there aren't any other kind. And I wanted you to have those stories from the Old Testament, because now I have the Spirit of God working in me, operating. We've shared those scriptures. We know that according to Hebrews, that those who were able to overcome, that God is still telling us, look back on these who followed me. And every one of them is going to have a failure before they have a victory. But here's the problem. The enemy wants you to think that your victory is not having problems. How are you going to have a victory unless you have a battle? So I want you tonight, this is your deal. For 1 week, I want you to monitor your words. Okay? We're going to come back next week. I want you to monitor your words. I want you to recognize what you're struggling against. I want you to start telling God what you're grateful for. And number three, I want you to tell your struggle on number three who God is. Because he's going to speak to you. Okay? If it's, I'm afraid that, you know, the back rotted wood on this building is going to fall off. Well, Lord, I thank you that the rotted wood is still standing and that you're having grace and mercy on us, knowing that all that electrical works there. And I just want to tell you that I'm going to say to that struggle later, enemy, God will provide what I need when I need it in the order I need it, and I'm not going to get out of sync with him. I'm just going to trust him and keep praying over it. And I'm going to tell the enemy what God says, because God says, gay in due season, you'll reap if you don't faint. But you have to say to your struggle who God is. And I want you to hear what God has to say about where you are. And I want you to know this. Yes, God convicts. That's not a bad word. That doesn't mean you're a convict. Convict means to simply show the truth of something. The truth is, you're not going to fail. You're going to be victorious, and God is the only one who can help you. But the enemy wants to accuse you and get you to believe why God can't help you, so you'll be ashamed and you'll go back in the cave because you think the enemy's going to take the three little things you have, and God can't use the three little things you have until you give them to him, and then he's going to turn it into 30 and 300 and 1,000 and more. Because only God can bless and multiply. But the first thing he's got to bless and multiply is what I believe about him. Amen? All right, so will you stand with me tonight? What are we going to do with this? What are we going to do with what God has said? What are we going to do when it looks like we're losing? The worst in history. To me, in history, it looks like America is losing the worst in history. But guess what? There's a price that's been paid, and I'm staying till he says it's the end, and I'm going to believe, and I'm not going to believe the enemy. I'm going to believe God. And I'm going to have some people in this room who are going to be able to testify to the goodness of God, and we're going to see many people saved and come to know the God that we know. And the pressure's going to be off. And right now, in Jesus' name, Father, I rebuke off every word that has been spoken over the people in this room about what God can and cannot do. God, no man can know your depths. No man. God, we pray for those who put you in the box. We pray for those who believe that it's up to them to make things happen. And God, we ask that by mercy and grace, you would heal that place in their hearts where they've turned from you to themselves or from some other source, God. Lord, we want to stay faithful. We want to continue to serve. We want to continue to work in these fields. God, we want to see. I want the fear to fuel my faith. I tear down those lies off me tonight, and I lay them before you, God, and I say, here's one, God. I'm so scared of this. I give this to you. I give this to you as a sacrifice of praise tonight. And I tear down those things one by one and trust you. And I thank you for that tonight, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Listen, it's spiritual warfare. Don't be mad at people. They're just lost. It's spiritual warfare, but trust God. Don't forget these flyers. I'm counting on you to get this word out. I know we took up a little extra time with that tonight, but it's really important that we get this word out, okay? And you can read all the benefits that are on there for everybody. No, the pins are your gift. You get to keep them.